Okay, moving on. Item 2021-078, snowplow blades, found on page 117.
Public Works is requesting to award this bid to the lowest vendor for a two-year period, Grant Steel Company, in the amount of $28,000 from November 28th, 2020 to November 27th, 2022.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? And I would like to, again, make note that this request is in plenty in advance of the contract expiration date of November 28th. Thank you, Christy. I need a motion.
Favorable action.
Second. Motion for favor. We have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. 2021-079, maintenance service for fire department air compressors and equipment, found on page 120.
Good evening, Assistant Chief Umbenhauer from the fire department. We received one bid for maintenance for our Scott air compressors. We are going to award that bid, or recommend that award be bid to Shipman's Fire Equipment of Waterford, Connecticut. This is going to be a two-year contract with effective date 8/25/20 through 8/24/22. For an amount not to exceed $15,000.
Chief, why do you think that you only received, you know, one bid on this thing?
In previous years, this has been a 56-6. Scott Safety, who is the manufacturer for Scott compressors, says that Shipman's is the only vendor that's allowed to do service in Rhode Island. So we did a 56-6 last year. This year I wanted to keep them honest, so I put it out to bid, and we only received the bid from the only eligible vendor.
Okay. I also looked into this a bit, and what I've learned is that there are very few companies that are certified to do the compressor issue. Filling the tanks is pretty easy, but the compressor issue is the problem. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action. Second it.
We have a motion for favor. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, item 2021-080, vehicle exhaust removal system maintenance, found on page 130.
Fire department received two bids for vehicle exhaust removal maintenance. The lowest bid was submitted by Air Clean and Specials of New England. The department's recommending that they be awarded the bid. This will be in a two-year bid, effective 8/27/20 to 8/26/22 for an amount not to exceed $30,000.
Chief, I am not going to be able to support this particular request at this particular time. As I said numerous times, I have not had the time to look into this particular item. I didn't see this until we received the bid. I'm sorry, the binder. But what I do recall is in the past, we have... Chief, you talking to me or? No, okay.
Sorry.
History, in the past, there was a significant amount of scrutiny on this particular bid.
Oh, it's not our turn.
Someone's talking here. Chief, back to what I was saying, we had a significant amount of scrutiny regarding this particular bid, on procedures, on information, on documents, et cetera. And there's been some questions that have come up regarding this issue again, that I would like to have an opportunity, I need to have an opportunity to look into and to research before I will be able to support this particular bid, particularly because of the scrutiny and the issues going back to the past. So I am going to respectfully request from my colleagues on the Finance Committee to support my motion to hold this until the September 9th meeting, so not only myself, all of you can do your due diligence, if you so choose, to research into this item. I do know I need to do that because I do have concerns. So are there any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chief, Deputy Chief, if I may, this is for the item that is attached to the vehicle when it first starts that's required by insurance or by safety laws, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct. This is an NFPA standard. It attaches to the exhaust pipe so that the diesel particulate and the carcinogens that emit from the truck on startup don't go into the living quarters. It goes up and it's vented through the roof.
Okay, and do we have all functioning, are all the machines you have now functioning for this?
As of right now, they are. We have frequent repairs on these. These systems most of them were installed back in 2000. So we've got their aging systems that are about 20 years old. Obviously the newer buildings have a newer system, but we spend upwards of $15,000 a year on repairing these aging systems. So it's pretty frequent. I'd say at least once or twice a month, we're sending a repair company out for these.
Okay. And if one doesn't, is there any legal restrictions if one collapses and we don't have a company to repair? Is there any ramifications to that?
What we do is we try to move the truck to a different location inside the building if possible, because there's several drops inside the building. That would be step one. If we can do that, we would. If we get to the point where we don't have a drop in there, then we deal with a health and safety issue. So the health and safety committee would probably have a complaint or a grievance to the department for violating health and safety.
Okay. I saw that Councilman McAllister had his hand up. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman McAllister.
Yeah, so Chief, so this is a health and safety issue. As you put in our binders here, that these were originally installed in 2000. You said that you are monthly having to send somebody out to fix these things. So my concern is a delay. We don't want to see anybody getting sick. This is air quality standards, and that this is state ordered, correct? Or is this part of the contract? This is something that we are required to do. Isn't that correct, Chief?
So that's correct. It's a state law. It's that NFPA 1500 you hear so much about, which is the health standard. So this is inside of what is NFPA 1500 that requires us to have that diesel admission system. So if we send one or two repairs out a month, you're talking at least, $1,200 to $2,000 per month to repair these systems to keep them up and running.
So this will help with the preventative, trying to keep the upgrade on these things to keep everybody safe and keep these things running in the correct way.
You're absolutely correct. It's very important to keep those that particulate and that emissions out of the living quarters, because those exhaust pipes basically will vent right into the doors that lead into the vented quarters, to the living quarters, if not properly vented up and out through the roof.
Correct. And like you said, these are the living quarters. This is where our people are there every day. So I just have some concerns on holding on this. I think that, these are qualified bidders. The chief has done his research on this. He has, put forth the information in our binders that they gave us to receive. I don't remember hearing a number of questions last time that the chairman brought up, but this looks like a safety issue, and I just want to make sure that we are doing right for the people that are working for the city, while also making sure that we are doing qualified bidders. And it seems like the chief has done that to get us a qualified bidder for this particular item.
Yeah, you're correct.
Councilman Howell, you had your hand up again?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman. The other question I have, Chief, have you done an analysis to see what the cost would be to you said that these systems are old from 2000. If is there an analysis if we are investing the amount of money we're investing, about $15,000 a year, to begin a program of replacing those, or are these systems like extremely expensive and maybe it's a whole separate added value? If I ask the question. Yeah.
Good question. We, if you remember back a couple months ago when we actually extended this bid, we had talked about, we had looked into, and Assistant Chief Oatley had looked into replacing the air filled system that we use now. It's an air bladder system with a magnetic system, so that less moving parts, less, you know, parts of failure. We did get a price on that. It's about $2,500 to $3,000 per drop. We have about 36 of them in the city. So it gets very expensive. You're talking upwards in, you know, not doing quick calculation, but $100,000 to, you know, just do a, you know, citywide replacement. So what we decided to do is keep doing the repairs that we can if they're minor. If we get to a position with one of the drops, which is when it comes from the ceiling down to the truck, where it would be a more expensive repair, we would weigh replacing it with the new magnetic system as opposed to replacing and or repairing the aging air filled system. So that's what we're gonna look for going forward. And that's why we're asking for a little bit more money this year than we had in the past, is to allow us to be able to make that decision and still fall within the spending cap.
Because I can absolutely understand what the point the chairman is making about some of the concerns with the repairs, the cost of the repairs, but also moving forward, as I'm glad I heard you say that, because I do agree with Councilman McAllister. But moving forward, I'm glad to hear you say that you are putting together a plan, because to me, it seems if you put an updated system in there, in the long run, if you look at time value of money, it's gonna pay itself off in no time. Instead of putting in for the constant repairs, it's going to be a new system, a constant system, which what I would assume a 7-year warrantied life or a 7-year valued life before you start having to do major updates or any updates. So that we would get our money back, hand over. We would get, actually, if you're saying the cost would be somewhere up in the neighborhood of $100,000, we would get that money back in 3.5 years, three and a quarter years. So I'm glad to hear you say that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. I hear you on the issue of looking at replacing some of this equipment. Chief, what was your budget for this last year?
So we spent last year, this comes out of our service contracts budget, we spent in fiscal year 20, $12,000, just over $12,000, $12,074 last year. In fiscal year 20. Fiscal year 19, we spent $11,292.
Okay.
So the 2-year bid that's expiring now, we've spent so far, it expires in a couple weeks, $23,366 over the 2-year period.
And how much do you have left in that line item today?
$634.
And has the inspection for the month of August been completed?
This isn't preventative maintenance inspections. This is just repairs. This just covers repairs. When they go down, we fix them. Yep. There's no reeling maintenance involved with these. There's not a lot of moving parts. It's either air or magnetic and a blower in the roof. And we only call them if we're having an issue with the system.
So I would point out that I hear the concerns that we're talking about. I hear about the safety issues that we're talking about and the problem with holding this or potential problem. But I'm also hearing about the legal requirements outside of what has been discussed. There's legal requirements for reporting of certain information. There is legal requirements for licensing for certain trades that do different types of work. And this licensing is a requirement for anyone who is working in the state of Rhode Island, that they be licensed by the state of Rhode Island, not by Massachusetts or Connecticut. The law is that they're licensed by the state of Rhode Island. Chief, I believe this is also a prevailing wage job, correct?
That's correct. It is a prevailing wage job, so we have to do certified payrolls with
the employees. Prevailing wages require certified payroll records.
So if I can make a note for the record, I haven't received myself any questions from either vendor of any concerns as far as prevailing wage or labor laws or any of the state regulations. I did do my due diligence and I did look to make sure these companies were licensed. They had licensed contractors here in Rhode Island. Murphy Specialty, who's the one who did not get the bid, has three licensed, at least journeyman or master sheet metal workers. And Air Clean Specialist does have one. They are, you know, they do have a certificate of good standing, and they do have one master sheet worker on the Rhode Island record.
Well, this, you know, brings us back to the bid in history when some of this information wasn't so readily available, and it had to be requested numerous times. And as I said earlier, not knowing this was on the calendar for tonight, I didn't have any opportunity to check into anything on this based upon what the previous experience was. And we speak about the significance and the importance of this maintenance, et cetera. And I concur with that. I concur with that completely. I concur with it 100%. And here we are. We are now August 17th. The bid expires on August 27th. By ordinance, it's supposed to come to us 60 days in advance. And that certainly isn't the case. It's 10 days in advance. And it is, as everyone has testified here, something that is very important, very necessary, life safety, et cetera, et cetera. But yet the bid request doesn't come to us till 10 days before the expiration. And I know it's going to be, it's COVID, you know, COVID is like the culprit for everything. When something isn't getting done or doesn't get done or can't get done, COVID is the reason why these things are not being done at all in a timely manner or incomplete or not on time, period. You have $1,200 a month, you say, average in repairs. You still have $634 left in that account, which carries you through at least half the month. And I'm sure if there is a repair that is necessary, that repair could be done immediately because it would require it under an emergency statute. And what I'm looking for is to hold this until September 9th so I can do my due diligence in researching and getting answers to the questions that I have and researching some of the information that has been provided to me. In my history with this contract last is not good, quite frankly. So that's the reasons why I am looking to hold this until September 9th. I do not see any way possible. It is jeopardizing anyone's health safety. The bid is coming to us 10 days before the expiration date. So it appears as though there was no sense of urgency to get this completed. And there is still money in that account to carry you through at least half of the month if you need any repairs. And there are certainly other options available if you need another $600 or so to do a repair for within the next few weeks.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Howe.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to respectfully, strongly disagree with the comment about the timeline. And this goes for all departments. Mm-hmm. It's actually touched a nerve on me to hear, granted, COVID added to it, but we've had uncontrolled meetings that have been going to 11:30. We have been hounding on items of things that could have been addressed as a professional courtesy with department heads and otherwise. So I am not going to hold any department. I understand. I supported that ordinance. I was with you on that ordinance. But to keep throwing out that it's August 27th, we got 32 items on this docket. We've got items that are being carried over that we had to hold from the previous docket. We're going to have items in September from the June docket. So I'm going to ask that you just hold the brakes on that and excuse me, and understand that everyone is dealing with the best way they can, including us, including the departments, to address and to get these items and these bids moving forward after a big pause. So I for one, am not going to hold out the chief or any department for coming to us. There have been quite a few that have come here early, but understanding the challenges that we have been dealing with, they have been dealing with, and much more than just the word COVID, I'm gonna give them a pass on this because they're still running their departments and very effectively, I may add. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council?
Yep.
Councilman Sinapi.
So given that this is required by law, given that it's a health and safety issue, especially regarding the respiratory system in a time of COVID, and given the fact that the time in which before the bid expires is not going to get larger between now and the next meeting, go the other way, seems like a no-brainer to advance this, especially when all the concerns seem to be regarding information on past occurrences, which frankly, I don't care about. I care about the fact that this is required by law. It's a health and safety issue. And again, it's COVID. So yes. And by the way, what Tim had to say about the meetings couldn't be more spot on. Thank you, Tim.
Any other questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public?
There is a call from the public, actually two.
Okay, introduce the first one.
Okay, this first one goes by the name of, it just says family.
Okay, family, could you state your name for the record, please? The attendee that is looking to speak on this item under family, would you state your name for the record, please?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, my name is Paul Hardiman. It's Paul okay. Hardiman, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Paul, go ahead.
Let me just walk away from my screen for a second because I think it's. I'm getting back. I'm watching it on the computer, but I'm on my phone. You hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you, Paul. Go ahead.
Okay, let me just say because I think I'm having a miscommunication on the sound. But my name is Paul Hardiman. I just got to read a little statement that I wrote up. Okay, so it's Paul Hardiman. I'm the previous vendor that does the vehicle exhaust fume removal and family business. And about 2 weeks ago, I did a public records request to the city. I wanted to get the records request for the last contract holder that is a low bidder right now who had the previous contract. And I have some information that he does work on neighboring city. You know, I checked the certified payrolls. None of the employees that work for the city or the neighboring city are licensed sheet metal workers. To me, that's a problem because they're working in the fire station for the health and safety of the firefighters and they're using unlicensed people. And I would like to request that if the city can put a hold on awarding this contract until the to just do a little background check on this company and see if they're going to continue to use unlicensed sheet metal workers to do this work. That's about all I can say.
Mr. Hardiman, are you through?
I can't really hear.
Mr. Hardiman, do you have anything else to add? One more time, Mr. Hardiman, is there anything else that you would like to add? Hearing none, Chris, let's go to the next attendee.
The second attendee seems to have dropped off, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions from members of the public?
Sorry, let me interrupt you just a moment, sir. I see another attendee who just popped up. I'm going to allow them to talk.
Please state your name for the record, please. Hello, we have another attendee. Please state your name for the record, please.
It looks like they're still muted, Mr. Chairman.
Chris, can you unmute them?
I have it. My name is Roger Duran.
Yes,
Mr.
Roger,
Chairman, Mr. Lattiso, I want to agree with you totally with reference to some of the reservations you have regarding spending money. One of the things that's amazing for me, listening to this again tonight, is in the question I wanted to ask a few minutes ago, is what's the collection rate for the city? And the reason I ask that, it all has to do with money. And right away, we're spending money for this program. We're putting extra money into the water department. And are we going to get a 99% collection rate? That's the question I wanted to ask before. So what's the rush to spend all this money when we have no idea what our budget's going to look like in 2 weeks, 2 months, or 6 months? And until that can be determined, there is no way we should be spending extra money that we don't have until we have a clear understanding of what our budget is. So, Ed, I'm in total agreement with you. If times were different and money was flush, that's a whole different ball game. But Mr. Sinapi said, well, he's not on the finance committee. I'm a city councilor. But let me suggest this to Mr. Sinapi and the rest. I'm just a taxpayer who is frightened with reference to the tax bill we're going to get next year if we don't get a handle on spending in the city of Warwick. So thank you, Ed, and I'm in full agreement with you.
In a personal privilege, my comment was in regards to the fact that I have no ability to vote on the Finance Committee. Context matters.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Councilman. So before I ask for a motion on this, I just want to address a couple of comments because they were directed specifically to me. First of all, I am not the one responsible for having 37 items put into this bid package when we only have one meeting. And I am certainly not the one responsible for having less than 50% of the opportunity to do my due diligence. And I don't think there's anyone that's sitting in this meeting would question whether or not or how much time I put into this bid package every single council meeting to come up with questions and information and items and things that not anything because of anything nefarious, but simply were omitted or overlooked. And that has been going on for some 4 years now. So to insinuate that I'm responsible for dragging out this meeting or not getting through this calendar or this bid package is my fault. It's not my fault. I didn't put 37 items in this bid package. As a matter of fact, if I remember through history, it has been sort of kind of a request that we have no more than 25, I think it is, items in the bid package. So we don't have these problems of running one meeting into the next. And so that we can't complete council meetings. These things are beyond my control, but what is in my control is my responsibility to the taxpayers and my responsibility to ask and look at every single item that I can think of when I'm reviewing these bids, whether it be a $5 bid or $1 million bid. And I'm sorry if people take offense to that, but that's just the way it is. I'm not going to support a vote for items that I have questions on and I'm not getting answers for. Having said that, I'll leave it up to my colleagues. Need a motion on vehicle exhaust removal system maintenance.
I move favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. I will be voting against this. And the reason I'm voting against it is because I have not been provided with the information or provided the opportunity to do my due diligence in gathering answers to the questions that I have or answers to items that I think are pertinent to the award of this bid. I also believe that there is money still remaining in that line item should the need arise for a repair. And as was stated earlier, that this would be or could be an emergency situation. It's certainly something that can be covered in terms of an emergency response for the monies. So those are the reasons why I am going to be voting no. I will continue to do my due diligence on this. I will continue to do my research on this, and I will approach it from that perspective. So we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We have two yes and we have one no. Thank you very much. And thank you also for everyone's comments and your input. These are certainly the type of things that as a government we need to do and express our own concerns and our own opinions on these matters. 2021-082, miscellaneous police gear and equipment found on page 133.
Lori Michaelides on behalf of the police department. In June, the police department went out to bid for miscellaneous police gear and equipment. The bid request was for 17 issued equipment items. Four vendors bid on the equipment listed, and we are recommending that the bid be awarded to Atlantic Tactical out of Pennsylvania. Galls was lower on a number of items, but did not bid on the Safariland brand as specified in the bid requirements. This department uses Safariland products for the following reasons. First and foremost, officer safety. Safariland gear is the industry standard. It is made with heavy duty leather, where these off brands are oftentimes made with a synthetic material that simply isn't as strong, which I'm hoping to be able to show you in a minute. We'll see how that goes on Zoom. I was speaking with Colonel Rathman earlier on an unrelated matter, and we spoke about this bid briefly. He explained to me that approximately 8 to 10 years ago, when he was in professional standards, that this bid was awarded to Galls as the lowest overall bidder with these off-brand products. That entire year, every recruit that was hired was issued the off-brand. There were several instances where the stitching came undone on these different pieces of equipment. The snaps broke off, the Velcro no longer worked. The gear became pliable and flexible very, very quickly and ultimately had to be replaced. There was actually one documented occasion where an officer had bent a certain way and the OC holder snapped open and the OC fell out, which is, you know, we can't have equipment falling out on officers when they're going to calls and whatnot. Then Inspector Matheson, who was here for obviously a very, very long time, had recommended that we stick with the Safariland brand. It's a quality brand, it lasts a long time, and we've used it for a long time. So with the exception of that one time when we used the Gauls off-brand equipment, we have always used Safariland equipment. And the analysis that was done at the time was that we were actually spending more money buying the off-brand because we had to replace the items more often than the Safariland brand. So as a result of our conversation earlier, Mr. Chairman, I had tried to find some data to show the differences between the different brands and manufacturers. Unfortunately, all their specs and their website use flowery language that doesn't really give a hard specification that I could actually point to. So I reached out to our tactical guys and they were actually able to provide me with a couple versions. Now, I don't know how well you can see this or not, but this right here is the Safariland brand OC holder. And this is the Gould and Gouldrich off-brand that Gauls had bid on. The difference in the pricing between these two was $6.40. Safariland $6.40 more expensive. If you can see the size difference, there's a noticeable size difference. If you can see the thickness, I'm not sure how well it's really gonna show up, but this brand is almost twice as thick, the leather. In addition, this is not really pliable. It's not really flexible. This is a really tough material. This is I can bend it, squish it, move it around, and this is the type of equipment that an item might fall out of. They were also able to bring me a handcuff case. This is a Safariland handcuff case. This was turned in by an officer that just retired who had approximately 20 years on the job. There's some scuffing and scratches on it and whatnot, but this is still a very usable piece of equipment after 20 years. It's still in very good condition. The difference in price between this and the Gauls off-brand is $1.80 between these two items. A major backseat to officer safety, another reason that we want to stick with the Safariland brand, on the first six items on the bid, Gauls had a mismatch of five different brands. Phobos, which nobody around here has ever heard of, Blackhawk, Gould and Gouldrich, Law Pro, and Heroes Pride. They're all different manufacturers. As with anything else, every different brand or manufacturer has a slightly different look to it. So if you can imagine an officer's duty belt, the duty belt is one brand. This piece of equipment is a different brand. It would be an unprofessional and non-uniform look having all these different items on the one belt. From my personal experience, I have almost 20 years on the job. I was issued Safariland gear. I spent the bulk of my career in patrol, 13 years, and my equipment's still in very good condition and serviceable condition. It has lasted 20 years. Given that, we are recommending that Atlantic Tactical receive the bid award, even though they are slightly higher on those seven items.
Major, thank you for that presentation. And I must say, I asked you a simple question earlier today, and without hesitation, not only did you give me the reply to it, you went the extra mile to do this demonstration that you just did right now. And it is, it is appreciated very much that the due diligence is acknowledged and that it doesn't turn into confrontation. And I'd also like to put out there again, I've done it in the past, but because of some conversation earlier tonight, my phone is available. My door is always open. I am willing and more than happy to meet with any department head or assistant department head or anyone else that wants to speak with me prior to any of these council meetings, prior to the bid package being presented. Anyone that would like to sit down and explain to me why your deal is a better deal or why this vendor isn't so good or why you need this, why that is a more affordable, more effective. I'm perfectly willing to do it. I would much prefer to do it there than do it on the floor. But I'm one person, and we have, in this case, 37 items to deal with, and this is supposed to be a part-time job. I'll give it all the time it requires, and I'll meet with any department head anytime that you need to meet with me to explain to me about your bid requests and anything surrounding it and deal with my questions and my concerns. Thank you, Major. I have a total clear understanding of what and why, and that is the epitome to me of why sometimes we need to spend a little more to get a little more. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Major. Item 2021-093, maintenance contract for Xerox multifunctioning copier and HP LaserJet. Xerox. I can remember one point in time when I said to someone, could I have a Xerox copy? And they looked at me like I was a dinosaur.
We still have
Phil, that might have been you, actually. Item on page 137. Go ahead, Phil. I'm sorry. I thought it was appropriate to put a little humor into this meeting at this point.
Thank you. This is a request to award A1 Copier Sales Services and Supply Incorporated the contract to provide service to the city's copier and printer inventory on a time and material basis. A1 Copier was the low bidder, are considered a reputable service provider, and are therefore our suggested choice. I do want to enter an amendment at this time, if I could, please. This request was based on, as you remember, we're going from a monthly charge per copy basis and trying to get a handle on what it actually costs us to maintain the copiers and printers throughout the city. So that's why I wanted to do a time and material basis to sort of start to catalog some of these things. I'm asking for a 6-month spending authority on this, only because I wanted to take it 6 months at a time to see whether or not this is being cost effective for the city. And the way I based that was I was going to ask for a spending request of 50% of last year's expenditures on the contract. I did run a query on the system, a systems guy, and I thought I had filtered it to just last year, but upon further review, it actually included 3 years. So where it said the fiscal year 2020 was just over 140,000, it was actually 40,000, not 140,000. And thus I would like to make this request 50% of that. And rather than 70,000, I would like to lower the amount to 20,000. And once again, this is an authority to spend, not a guaranteed spend. We're hoping that it comes in significantly lower than that.
Phil, I'm gonna have to object to that reduction in saving all that money. That just is like,
cost. We're hoping.
So many serious faces out there. You know what, that smile a little bit here. No, that's good, Phil. So your amendment, which will now become PCR 7820, is going to, you're looking for a 6-month extension, and you're looking to reduce the request to $20,000.
This is actually a new bid. It's a 6-month request, and I do want to lower it to 20,000. That is correct.
Okay. And Madam Clerk, this will be going to PCR 7820. Is that correct?
That's correct. PCR 7820.
Thank you. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action with an amendment to reduce the award amount to $20,000 on PCR 78-20.
And that would be a six-month contract, correct, Councilman?
Correct, 6-month contract.
Okay.
Seconded.
We have a motion on the amendment. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Councilman McAllister, please move it as amended.
I move favorable as amended.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. 2021-102A, found on page 142, State of Rhode Island Paint Supply.
Public Works is requesting to piggyback the state bid for paint and paint supplies in the amount of $5,000 till the expiration of September 30th, 2020.
Thank you, Christy. And I see on code 63-227, highway supplies, traffic safety. Is that for like the stop sign line and crosswalk lining, et cetera? Is that what?
Yes, that would be the paint that we purchased to stripe the crosswalks and you know, whatever else we need. If we have to paint, you know, handicap spots with the blue lines.
And is that something that we're going to start doing soon?
No.
I really can't speak to that. I don't schedule for the highway department, so I couldn't.
Director Salitro, are you still here?
Say yes.
Christy and Mike is live. I hear the director back there. Could he say something to me, please?
He's going, actually, he's going into his room.
Yes, Councilman.
Yes, thank you, Director. So is the repainting of crosswalks and the striping of those white lines, you know, at some of the stop signs, is that something that's going to be commencing soon?
Yes, in the near future.
Can you give me some sort of an idea when you say the near future? What does that mean?
Well, when manpower prohibits, or we can do it.
When manpower prohibits?
Not prohibits, when it allows, I'm sorry.
Okay, good. So we can look forward to some of that too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Director. Watch out for your mics, ladies and gentlemen. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move favorable action.
Seconded.
Motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 2021-102B, State of Rhode Island Paint and Paint Supplies, found on page 146.
Mr. Chairman, James Scott from Parks and Recreation. We are looking to do the same thing that DPW did and piggyback the state bid until 9/30/2020 for the amount of $5,000.
Thank you, Director. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Director. Item 2021-103, State of Rhode Island Software Fund. Found on page 150.
Good evening, Councilman. MIS requests to piggyback on the State of Rhode Island bid. Oh, excuse me. I'm Chris Kate. I'm the network manager for the City of Warwick. MIS requests to piggyback on the State of Rhode Island bid for software support services and award the NetMotion Mobility Premium Maintenance Service Contract to SHI in the amount of $6,573.90. NetMotion is a software package used to allow city employees to remotely connect to the city network in a secure fashion. The effective date of this contract would be September 30th, 2020 through September 29th, 2021. And the budget code to cover this would be 25-334.
Thank you, Director. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion, please.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion, we have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item 2021-104, State of Rhode Island Lamps, Ballast, Related Electrical Supplies, found on page 154. Go ahead, Christy.
Department's requesting to piggyback the state bid for lamps, ballasts, and related electrical supplies in the amount of $2,000 for the period that ends September 30th, 2020.
Thank you, Christy. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second by Councilman Howe. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you. Ayes have it. 2021-116, State of Rhode Island, printer and copier, toner, cartridges, 158.
Good evening, Phil Carlucci, MIS Director for the City of Warwick. This is the last request on this particular group of changing over the maintenance contract, but this is a request to piggyback on the State of Rhode Island's bid for general office supplies, school supplies, paper, promotional items. Excuse me. Promotional items and toner cartridges awarded to WB Mason Company Incorporated in the amount of $15,000. This amount is based on an estimate of 120 devices, citywide printer devices, and require an average of toner cartridge at a cost of $125 per unit. The expenditures will be tracked by machine within the existing MIS help desk system, and further funding is required. We'll be able to supply that council with the detailed records of what we spent the money on to that point. Just want to explain, we have had toner and ink cartridges included with our contract of the current provider of that service for all copiers. There's an additional charge for shipping and handling, but the toner cartridge itself is included in that per copy cost. So this is part of our analysis when we're doing time and material. We now have to start to provide our own toner cartridges. Because we use predominantly all laser devices, the cartridges are more expensive than a typical $30 ink cartridge, but their longevity is much more substantial so that we don't have to replace them as often. Once again, just doing this as our ability to get a handle on what we're spending and making sure that we're getting a value out of whatever we're doing with the copiers and printers.
Well, I must say that you are the recipient of the most smiles from my colleague this evening, and I'm not sure if it's because they were so happy with your presentation or they liked your music. I'm not quite sure which one of those two it is, but it worked. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion, please.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. 2021-089, Munis Training Contract, found on page 165.
Thank you. This is a request under City Ordinance 56-6 to award Tyler Technologies the Munis Training Contract in the amount of $3,000. In addition, I am requesting that an additional $1,500 be added to cover potential travel-related expenses with their trainers when they come to provide the training. This brings the total of this request to $4,500. Just a short explanation. I think I've made it pretty clear that I'm a strong advocate of education. And we did increase our spend on education with Munis last fiscal year. It's not to blame, but obviously the ability to gather people together for training was severely diminished earlier this year. And we lost out on our opportunity, and these contracts do expire. So I chose not to renew it. Tyler contacted me, and we actually had to cancel it and say that we were I just wasn't confident that how long this whole situation was going to last and when could we get some learning opportunities again. I think subsequent to that, they've done a lot in, much like ourselves, getting Zoom training and getting their planning together. So I'm just asking for a smaller amount of education. It's not that we shouldn't be doing more to take advantage of the system that we pay so much money for, but being realistic, I don't see our ability to take advantage of it. So my intention is just to ask for the smaller amount to keep the contract in place. And then as things clear up and we have to migrate to the new system, to the upgraded version of Munis, when they quit supporting our current version, we obviously would increase our educational spend at that point in time.
Thank you, Phil. So Phil, who could, or who would receive this Munis training and who could request this Munis training?
We have a technology steering committee that I chair. So I have the department directors that are involved with Munis and other technologies. We meet once a month and we discuss what the priorities are, both system-wise and educational-wise. I do have opinions that I weigh in at those meetings, although it's, you know, it's the group that actually makes the decisions. There are certain areas of Munis that we are not taking advantage of to its full extent that we've already paid for. And there are some pieces of Munis that I think would be very cost justifiable that would help us a lot, but it's kind of hard to add on to the product when we aren't yet taking advantage of it for what we already have. So two areas that have recently come up, one is human resources. I think there's a lot of opportunity in some of the pieces we already own. And then we own an inventory package that currently there's someone in DPW that is testing it out, seeing how they like it and seeing if they can figure it out themselves. And if by chance, what I've told them is if by chance they look at it and they go, yes, this could actually add a great deal of efficiency and effectiveness to what we do, then I could arrange to have an actual training class and we could start to implement that module, which we already own and are paying for. So that's kind of the method we use for coming up with what it is we're going to train on.
Thank you, Phil. Any questions from members of the committee? Do we have any questions from members of the council? I do see a hand up from members of the public. Chris, could you acknowledge, please?
Yes, we do have a question from the public. Go ahead, caller, you can unmute.
Is that caller, are you able to unmute?
They do have the ability to talk, they just have to unmute their microphone.
The caller that has their hand up to speak, I assume on this item, would you please unmute your mic in order to address, please? Okay, I've asked on that for, I think, three times. We'll do one more time to be safe. The caller, oh, never mind, dropped his hand. Okay, any other questions from members of the public on Munis training contract? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item 2021-097, Criminal Investigation, BCI School, found on page 170.
The police department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization for a specialized training expense for one detective. The training involved is for attendance at the Criminal Investigation Scientific Evidence 1 and 2, being held at the URI College of Pharmacy and being conducted by the Rhode Island State Crime Lab. Our plan is to send at least one detective per year to this training, and that's what we've been doing the last couple of years. This two-semester-long course teaches proper procedures for the collection, cataloging, preservation, and transmission of evidence, teaches crime scene photography, as well as the lifting and examination of fingerprints. The training takes place from September 11th through April 9th, 2021. The cost for the training, the seminar, the required supplies, and the textbook is $3,900. The officer will be commuting to the training each day. If approved, this expense will come from the training budget, budget code 30-302.
Okay, thank you for that, Major. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, thank you. Next item, 2021-115, purchase of existing street lighting fixtures, poles, and support equipment, found on page 179.
Evening, Mr. Chairman. Luke Murray from the Planning Department here to present a 56-6 request for the purchase of street lighting. I'm going to direct your attention to the screen. I'm going to do a really quick run through. Can you see that okay? Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'm here to present a purchase of existing street lighting inventory. I just wanted to run through quick where we're at with this and then take any questions that you may have. So if you remember, this is a money saving project. We are looking to purchase the existing streetlight inventory. And this is a savings to the city of approximately $471,000. And this kicks in as soon as we purchase the lights and we transfer the maintenance to our PRISM, who you awarded approximately a month and a half ago for the maintenance and conversion contract. In addition to that, we'll receive approximately $230,000 in additional savings post-conversion for that $700,000 a year number. And as I've mentioned before, this is a no-brainer. It's a three-year simple payback, and we're going to realize $3.5 million over the course of the conversion. It's important to realize that what we're deciding tonight is important because as soon as we take over the system, we'll realize that $470,000 in savings. That starts the clock on those savings immediately after we write the check. So far, you've approved the $3.1 million for PRISM to move forward. I have been working with PRISM, and we did review the inventory that National Grid did send us in late June. And then we're going to move forward with a pilot once this inventory is purchased. It's important to realize that National Grid will not allow us on their poles to touch that infrastructure until it is purchased. So it's vital at this time that we move forward if we want to realize these savings. So this purchase request is in accordance with Rhode Island General Law, which states that we need to compensate the electrical distribution company, National Grid, the original cost, less depreciation and amortization of active and inactive existing public lighting equipment. So the bottom line on that is we don't have a lot of choice to maneuver on what it costs. The good news is that the cost is fairly low for the number of fixtures that we are getting. For instance, I know that I believe the town of North Kingstown is spending upwards of $200,000 on their inventory, and that is primarily because they waited too long to purchase the inventory. It was $80,000 there were upgrades made, and after 18 months, they readjust the pricing. So we are purchasing near upwards of 9,000 streetlights, near 300 non-distribution poles. So those are dedicated light poles only, and the supporting structures, meaning the arms that go on and support those actual fixtures, for the amount of $50,048.98. National Grid has provided all the purchase documents. I have all of the contracts in my office. I've asked the city solicitor to take a look at those. Those have to be executed by the mayor, provided that we have funding in place. And we also have to have maintenance in place with PRISM, which we do now have, thanks to your approval about a month and a half ago. So we anticipate that if we can move swiftly on this, we'll start the conversion in late 2020 and early 2021 with the goal of finishing up in July of 2021 on or about. So with that, I'll stop sharing and take any questions that you may have.
All right. Thank you for that information, Director. I do have, it's more of a request for a clarification because I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly from your position paper. In the second paragraph, about halfway down, it says the city is required to purchase the existing lighting infrastructure. The total inventory to be acquired includes all those things that you had just shown us on your chart. Then in the last paragraph on that page, it says this project cost will be funded under budget code 431-0400. The city council previously approved the issuance of appropriation bonds through the Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank to fund the purchase of the existing street lighting infrastructure as part of a long-term cost saving strategy. So I'm not clear as to why this $50,048 isn't coming from that bond money as opposed to a separate request right now for the $50,000. Could you clear me up on that?
Yeah, it's a bit of an accounting thing. So I've been talking to Lynn Proger about this. When we did the pro forma on the project, it was part of our analysis of the $3.1 million. So it will be coming out of that. Keeping in mind that we have OER and National Grid incentives. So it's not a $3.1 million project. It's projected to be over $3.5 million, but we're getting over $500,000 in incentives back from National Grid and OER. So from a finance back room sort of perspective, we're gonna be using some of that bond money to purchase the infrastructure, but then funding it back with a lot of the incentives that we get. So effectively, it really doesn't matter as far as account codes, whether we could feasibly push it in another account code, but that's not necessary because we'll be backfilling the bond money with those incentives, if that makes sense.